You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The best time of the year on the Dan Patrick Show.
Only the best people work on the holidays.
But what is any day, really, without the Dan Patrick Show? Available daily on Peacock or on the Dan Patrick Show podcast.
The award-winning Dan Patrick Show.
So don't miss a show. Don't miss a moment. Download it today. It's free. Thanksgiving. A time to be thankful.
Isn't this supposed to be a thankful show? We're thankful for a lot of things.
For time off. For food.
How about turkey sandwiches, man?
For our health and football. And for stand-up guys like Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker. Why, you ask? Because while Dan and the Danettes are off, they have stepped up to fill the void.
And that's one of the most generous things that anybody's ever done for this show.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, two good guys.
I love you.
Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker.
What up? Welcome in. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes, wishing you and yours a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Rob, we have football today. We got hoops today, too. Getting ready on Fox. Gonzaga taking on Kansas down in Florida, but it'll be on Big Fox, leading you into the NFL games. Of course, you got the Fox game is the Washington football team taking on the Dallas Cowboys. The NBC game was supposed to be Ravens Steelers. That's been postponed until Sunday in the early slate. And then, of course, the kickoff game is, as it usually is, with the Dallas Cowboys, the Detroit Lions taking on the Houston Texans. And as a guy who spent a good, you know, you're a New Yorker by heart, but you spent, I would say, the biggest chunk of your professional
20
life.
20 years in Detroit.
Okay, 20 years in Detroit. What was the Thanksgiving Day game like?
It is a holiday, Doug, a parade. It is a part of Detroit. It just is, and it's been a part of the history since going back to 1934. It's a big part. It's a festive time. Everybody has their thing. This is Detroit's thing, the Thanksgiving Day game.
So why, Rob, why do you want to take Detroit's thing from Detroit?
Because I think the time has come. You know, there's traditions. There used to be a tradition in baseball, Doug. The Cincinnati Reds played the first game every year. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, you're too young. That used to be the thing. The Cincinnati Reds, which was the first professional sports team in the history of this country, played the traditional opener. They played before everybody else every single year. And then eventually, baseball got off of that. And in this case, here's the game most people get to watch before they sit down for their early Thanksgiving Day dinner. And the Lions just have not lived up to it. People around the country have been saying, why do we have to watch the Lions every year before our Thanksgiving meal? This is a franchise, Doug, that's won one playoff game since 1957. One in a league that's supposed to be set up so that teams can get good and bad in a year or two times, year or so. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be have competitive balance so that it's not dominated by anybody. But the Lions organization has been awful. And I think after a while, that should be a marquee game. We should be watching some of the best teams and best players on a Thanksgiving Day when everybody's home and everybody's watching instead of putting up with the Lions. And I covered 20 of those. I was there every Thanksgiving at Ford Field, at the Pontiac Silverdome, wherever they played. I was there every Thanksgiving for those games. And I understood what it meant to the city. But I just think at this point now, this organization doesn't deserve to have such a marquee game every year.
Well, they also won't have some of their stars. Kenny Galladay out, Danny Amendola out, DeAndre Swift, their rookie running back, out, Deshaun Hand out, Austin Bryan out, Jeff Okuda out, Mike
Who's
Ford
playing?
Out. I don't know. I mean, you know, Stafford's playing. And And Deshaun Watson's playing, so we'll get a chance to see Deshaun Watson. I mean, you know, I hear you. I guess the problem is, like, if you just do the math, they should eventually be good.
Yeah, we've been saying that. That's right? What people like you know what Detroit have always said.
You take it from them, and then the next year they're good. You're like, oh man, because the age old rule is half the teams that make the playoffs in the NFL don't make it the next year, which means half the teams that didn't make it the previous year make the playoffs. That should be good for Detroit. And their season's not over. They're 4-6. It doesn't look good, but the season's not over.
But what do you make of, like, your view of one playoff win since 1957? That was 1991. That's crazy. You know what team they beat? They beat the Dallas Cowboys with Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, all those guys. They beat that team.
Should have beaten the Cowboys a couple years ago. The game before Dez caught it. They had some calls go against them, if we're honest. But
yeah, but they also had the ball. And that game, you're right, Doug. You're right. Okay, if you even take that bad call into consideration, they had the ball with 2.5 minutes to go and a couple of timeouts, and Matthew Stafford went 4 and out. So they could have still won that game. It was there for the taking, and maybe that could have been different. And then they had Calvin Johnson. They had Ndamukong Suh at one point.
Sure.
Their defense was in the top 5 1 year, and you know what? They didn't do anything with it. So it wasn't like they haven't had any players. We know they had Herman Moore, Barry Sanders. I can go Lomas Brown. Sure. I can give you some names. The organization just hasn't been able to win.
I hear you. I just, it's one of those things where I think there's a couple dirty little secrets, right? First thing is, it is important to City of Detroit. Second, I'm not sure everybody else wants the game, right? Like, do you want to host a game on Thanksgiving? Like, not really. So you have the Cowboys, that's locked in. Because the Cowboys, good, bad, people watch, they're America's team. The addition of the third game is a relatively new thing, right? And that was going to be the premier game. So part of it is, honestly, you can't have all the premier games on Thursday. Because, you know, what happened, those same TV networks that pay all that money, they need the games on a Sunday, right? You have Chicago, Green Bay is the Sunday night game, and you have Kansas City, Tampa as the Sunday afternoon AFC window, and the NFC window is Rams versus Niners. Like, there's some pretty good games, really, if you look at it.
Yeah, but there's nothing bigger than Thanksgiving, and especially the first game. That first game, which is what, 12:30 Eastern, is the game most people watch, even more so than the other two, because then people are having dinner and, you know, other things under normal circumstances.
When do you normally eat your Thanksgiving meal?
4 o'clock, after that game, after that early Lions Thanksgiving Day game. What time do you eat? You don't eat early?
Earlier, one, like we eat.
So you have like a brunch. That's early.
Not brunch is before breakfast and lunch. It's a combined. It's like a early dinner, and then you eat,
1 o'clock,
and then you go back in. I don't know. Like I don't know if there's a set plan. I mean, I honestly, I'm not in charge of the
no,
timing.
But usually
early afternoon, and then you could go and you go back for seconds, like in the evening,
right?
When you're. It also depends on where you are. You know, if you're in California, those games start at 9:30, and so everything kind of starts earlier. But yeah, I like the eating earlier sort of thing. It makes the just food kind of out and around and whatever. Yeah, that would be generally my. We've done the late, we've done the early. I think we're going to do the early today. I'm not really
today.
Sure.
Yeah, normally it's like 4 o'clock is a nice early dinner, and then again, like you say, you could have seconds later on. And it used to be watch a movie. After they added that nighttime football game, it was a Thanksgiving kind of tradition.
The Charlie Brown Thanksgiving?
For me, the Wizard of Oz. I think, don't they usually play the Wizard of Oz on Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Do they play the Wizard of Oz? Honestly, I can't tell you. Also get that tryptophan-induced nap. That's why you eat early.
Yes.
Then you get a little food nap. You're like, food coma. You wake up, you're like, oh, man, there's some football on. Right? You mill around, you talk around, then you eat some more.
No doubt.
You eat some more. He's Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Do we hold it against the Steelers, some of these guys with tweets? You know, Eric Ebron, you know, calling it BS that they postponed the game. Should we be bothered by that?
we should be. I just think it's insensitive. That's all. And I get it. It's Twitter. It's social media. It's your immediate reaction. It's natural. It's real. But sometimes before you send that, hit that send button, you should just think about it. How is that going to look? People are down and out of work. People are dying. They're afraid to visit their parents. You know what I mean? And you're complaining that your football game got rescheduled as if it's the end of the world.
Yeah. Well, we do. We have an incredible selfish streak as a country, right? We just do. You know, and you're sending off these tweets on an iPhone, but I know that's Apple's thing, but I meaning me, you know, and YouTube, it's not about we, it's about I. And so we think of the things that are like, here would be my take to any Pittsburgh Steeler fan or player that thinks they've been done wrong by the NFL. If you think for 1 second the NFL wants to eliminate that window tonight on NBC, which would have been the highest ranked game of the weekend, might have been the highest rated game of the year because it's Thanksgiving, nobody can go out. It's on NBC. It's the Ravens and the Steelers. It might not be the highest, but I think it would have been close. And instead, cannibalize their ratings on Sunday of CBS and Fox because they got to move it to the early window. If you think people want that, the NFL wanted to do that, you don't understand the business of how this thing works. And it's clear that they had to postpone it in order to maintain, you know, the proper protocols for COVID-19.
And especially, Doug, with what's happening with the spiking all over the country and where we are, like the NFL did the right thing. I'm going to say bravo to the NFL. You're right. The business side is terrible. It doesn't work for the NFL or for NBC. It's awful. If you're at NBC, sure, you'll take the Sunday afternoon game, but you don't want a Thanksgiving night when most people are stuck at home and can't go anywhere or do anything else? On Thanksgiving?
Yeah. It doesn't really stand to reason some people's thoughts. He's Brown Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. All right. Coming up next, we'll get you ready for it. The biggest game of the weekend is probably the Chiefs taking on the Buccaneers. I'll give you my thoughts and share with you Rob's on Bruce Arians continuing to call out the play of his Hall of Fame quarterback. And that's next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Yes,
and who's producing the show, and he and I we're Charger fans. Now, I know people in the Chargers organization, and he's like, you know, they gotta stop just meaningless runs of the football. They got Justin Herbert, you know, it's the old let Justin Herbert cook. And it's interesting. It's like what you don't realize is there's a reason and a logic behind all of it. They're very happy with their new offense coordinator, Shane Steichen, took over mid-year last year. And obviously with Justin Herbert, their rookie quarterback. But those meaningless runs, like, they have almost all backup offensive linemen starting right now. They are just, you know, like, Pouncey, they signed at center. He got hurt. They knew it wasn't going to be good. And they've been beaten up by injuries on that offensive line. And, you know, in addition to losing Derwin James in the defense, and, like, you can't put him back there and have him throw 40, 50 times a game. Or, you know, what is likely to happen is, one, the Joe Burrow thing. You get hit because the offensive line just can't do it. And the second part is, like, you got to establish balance. You got to make offensive linemen love to run the football. And then the third part to it is just simply, like, they're not trying to completely unleash Justin Herbert this year. There's still so much he has to learn that they want to limit it on some level. So it's just funny that even Warren Sharp, has broken it down on what's that football? Is he Football Outsiders? Is he Pro Football Focus? Sharp Football. But the disconnect is actually ask the football guys, and they will tell you, like, yeah, that sounds great, but we actually have to run the football. One, to chew up some clock for our defense. Two, to give some balance. And three, not have our kid back there throwing it 50 times a game where he runs the risk of getting hit and getting hurt because we want him to be our quarterback for the next 15 years.
I get it. I don't understand why people don't understand. There is, you just can't throw the ball every down and defenses will cheat on you. They'll be able to not have to respect the run. There's a whole game plan. I mean, I to just say, oh, well, why run there? Just have them drop back and throw another bomb or throw another pass over the middle or whatever it is that you want. It doesn't make sense to me. There needs to be balance, and running the football is definitely important.
What do you get when you cross a Mercedes sedan coupe and SUV with a race car? Well, you get Mercedes AMG is all about. There's really no other way to say OMG AMG. Visit mbusa.com/AMG, Mercedes AMG, driving performance. Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes. We will see Kansas City versus Tampa on Sunday afternoon in what should be the biggest game of the weekend. Now, what shouldn't be lost is, yes, Tom Brady didn't look particularly good. He's 0 of 19 in the last 3 weeks on throws of 20 yards or more. All that said, kind of like you discussed with Baltimore and the four turnovers against Pittsburgh, they were down four and had the football. Tom Brady did get the football back and had a chance to tie or win the game when they lost on Monday night to the LA Rams. So they're not a terrible football team, but obviously there's some issues there at quarterback. Bruce Arians came out and he said it multiple times. Hey, we got to hit on these downfield throws. It works during the week. Maybe Brady's been confused a little bit, he said, but we got to get better play from our quarterback. What do you think about Brady and Arians and that relationship? And more honestly, what Arians has been saying?
You know, there's been some speculation that maybe, you know, Bruce will retire after this year and Brady will get to pick his own coach or something like that for next year. I don't see that scenario. I really don't. I think there's more of a chance that Brady won't like the way that this thing has gone this year. And if there's a bad ending, like a terrible playoff loss or somehow, some way they don't make the playoffs and he plays awful the last 6 weeks or whatever it is, that maybe Brady doesn't come back for the final year, you know, on the deal that he has. So maybe that's the case, but I don't have an issue at all. Bruce Arians, this is what he's been doing. He calls people out. And yes, Tom Brady is up, no doubt about it, Hall of Famer, and has won six Super Bowls, and there's a degree of respect that people have for him and his ability and his accomplishments and his resume and all that. But I think he is the weakest link right now. They went out and they gave him everything that he wanted. It was about that New England didn't have any weapons for him, Doug. And anybody who was available they thought could help, they brought him in. Somehow Bruce Arians stood up there at a press conference and said Tom Brady had nothing to do with Antonio Brown coming to the Bucs. Okay, if you want to sit there and tell us that, and yet he's living with Tom Brady or something, at least until he gets settled or whatever down in Tampa Bay. But my point is, Tom has everything, and they haven't beaten the good teams. They didn't bring Tom Brady in to beat the also-rans or to just make the playoffs. Tom Brady's about getting a chance to make a run and get to the Super Bowl and have a chance to win the Super Bowl. That's why you signed a 43-year-old quarterback, not because you're just trying to make the playoffs. And I get it. The Bucs haven't made the playoffs in 12 years. It's been a long time. But it ain't just about making the playoffs. So Tom Brady hasn't delivered yet. And you know what, Doug? Maybe he will. Maybe he'll get it together. Maybe he'll have some magical elixir come postseason time and they get to the Super Bowl. Even though Tom Brady's never been to the Super Bowl where he didn't win the division and had an easy road when it comes to the path. He's never been a wild card Super Bowl winner. So I don't know. And it doesn't look like they're going to win the division with the way the Saints have played, and the Saints have beaten them twice. So all of that is up in the air. But I think still Brady will be gone before Arians.
You think?
Yes. I do. You think Arians will be fired or quit after this year?
No, I don't know. I mean, usually what happens is the coordinator goes. It's interesting. It's Byron Leftwich who's a contemporary of Tom Brady's, a former NFL quarterback, and this is his first kind of full-time gig. But a lot of this is Arian's style of throwing the ball down. I knew it was a bad fit, right? Arians is a no risk it, no biscuit. He is not a stay at the office and burn the midnight oil sort of guy, whereas Brady is a workaholic. This is what he does. And he doesn't throw the ball downfield. Nobody's 43 years old throws the ball downfield. Everything is get rid of it quickly. You know, Kurt Warner late in his career, get rid of it quickly.
Right.
You look at Drew Brees, get rid of it quickly. And Tom Brady has been a guy who you could never – people always say, well, why could only Baltimore force him off his spot? And even Baltimore sometimes struggled, like, because he gets rid of it so damn quick. That's not the style here. Look at who Bruce Arians has been successful with. Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Carson Palmer. Big quarterbacks, really athletic, but guys that hold it a tick longer. Even Jameis Winston last year was a better fit for what he does. I think this is just about fit more than anything, and I think it's a bad fit. I think it's opposites that attract, but it's hard to live with somebody who's the opposite.
But do you think that they'll realize it's a bad fit, Doug, and maybe not go forward with year two if it's a bad finish? Like, what is your gut
but
there?
What's a bad fit? Because I think you think it's Super Bowl or bust, and I just don't think that's the reality.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason you sign a Tom Brady and give him that money. Well, there were no offers for Tom Brady other than the Chargers and the Bucks. Nobody else wants a 43-year-old quarterback paying him that kind of loot. And that's the thing, because they think there's a prize there. And for the Chargers, they were opening up a new building. Obviously, there were no fans this year, so they were looking for some juice, you know what I mean, to entice people to buy tickets and be excited about their organization. And the Bucks haven't made the playoffs in 12 years. They think they had a nice nucleus. They won 7 games with Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions. So they think, let's go get this Super Bowl quarterback. We make a run. We have a shot to win. I don't think it's just about the playoffs.
I
stumped you. You know
no,
I'm right.
No, I don't think you're right. I don't think you're right. I just don't. I don't think – I actually know that that's not generally the – that's not the way it works. You don't.
So they wanted to just make the playoffs. They spent all this money on an aging quarterback to make the playoffs.
No, but I think there's – you have to be reasonable. I mean, it's like when you get LeBron James. You know, LeBron didn't win a title his first year when he was in Miami. Yeah, he didn't win a title. You're not going to win a title your first year back in Cleveland.
LeBron James wasn't 43 years old.
I got it. But also, you have to remember, like, Tampa had. Did you realize how bad Tampa's been since they won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. So the idea that a guy is going to come in and change them so dramatically that they're going to go from, you know, a 7-9 team to a Super Bowl team in 1 year, I just those sorts of things don't happen in the NFL. They don't turn around that quickly.
Well, can you tell Chris Broussard, because he bet me a pair of Jordans that Tom Brady and the Bucks are going to the Super Bowl?
They've been to the playoffs twice since they won the Super Bowl. Okay, the second time, the last time was 2007. They've won 10 games or more, double digit wins, twice since they won the Super Bowl. Right, twice. So, you know, they had won 10 games since 2010, a decade. So the idea that they were going to go from a perennial under 500 team to a Super Bowl champion in 1 year because you had Tom Brady, like, come on, like, what are we doing here? Like, they you want to get to the playoffs and give yourself a chance. I think the NFC is more competitive than they thought. And you see what you got with Brady, and I'm with you. I like what you're saying is reasonable. He's not going to get better next year. On the other hand, after a year of working together, they can use him with a true offseason. They can use him in a way which will be more effective with some of the short, and they can hybridize the system in order to make it work. Do I think it works long term? No, of course not. I don't think it's a good fit. I don't think it's a good match. And I think that at some point, age is not just a number. You do get exposed. It is going to get worse. But you're asking me what I think will happen. I think they'll convince themselves it was just year one, and we went from not being a playoff team to the playoffs. There was some clunky starts, but we didn't have an offseason. A lot of people are going to convince themselves if we had an offseason, we would have been able to fix these things, even if it's not accurate.
No, I get it. They'll talk themselves into it, but I know it's a cliche, but father time is undefeated.
Father time is undefeated.
And at some point, we just have to own up to it. Tom Brady should probably be retired and with his family and relaxing and enjoying the unbelievable run he had with the Patriots. And he'll wind up like Michael Jordan and Willie Mays, who was stumbling around left field for the Mets, and Michael Jordan, who couldn't make the playoffs with the Wizards. And Tom Brady might be the same, in the same boat, because we've seen this act by people, and it doesn't always end the way that you wish it would. And you just say, why did Michael even bother doing that with the Wizards? And you'll think back, why did Tom even do this? Why did he go down there to wear that uniform and to not win? You know what I mean? And look bad. So we'll see how it plays out. I think it's gonna have a bad ending.
I tend to agree, but I don't know if that bad ending is not in the playoffs, right? Like Kurt Warner's ended in the playoffs when he got hit, he got concussed, right? You go and you look at Brett Favre. It didn't end the playoffs, right? The he came back the next year, and he came back and after they lost to the Saints, right, in the NFC Championship game,
right, with the bad interception.
That's when he got hurt. I mean, heck, I think even if you look at Dan Marino is what, 38 years old. They won the wild card and they got beat by the Jacksonville Jaguars 62-7.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Like, that's – and he was bad, and he was just – he couldn't do it. He was over the hill. You know, if you go back and you look at Favre's last game of the good season when they lost to the Saints, like, he just missed on throws he'd normally hit on. If you look at his last game when he was with Green Bay, like, the reason Green Bay was okay with him retiring was he couldn't get loose, and they played the Giants and lost in overtime, and he missed on throws. And that's what tends to happen. It's the same thing with – you know, it's the same thing with Peyton Manning. Now, Peyton Manning's defense was good enough. Their special teams was really good, and they carried him. But this is very normal for older quarterbacks where they're not the guy they used to be, and it can end poorly. The one difference would be I do think this offense is a bad fit, and I think because you have the non-offseason, they'll convince themselves that, all right, we'll just fix some things between year one, year two. We understand Tom and how he works. He understands us better. We started to change the culture. We got to the playoffs, and now we'll fix things and be a Super Bowl team next year.
But the only thing, you as a guy who is a coach and you come from a coaching family, the way Bruce Arians has handled this tells me
it's terrible.
He's not going to change, though, is what I'm saying. Is like, because you would think going in, right, okay, I got Tom Brady, I'm going to do it with kid gloves, I'm not going to try to embarrass the guy, this guy's a well-accomplished. Do you know, like, I understand what you're saying, but that hasn't stopped Bruce Arians. He ripped Tom Brady game one against the Saints. We were just talking about it with no training camp. He ripped him in game one.
I know. And on some level, I thought it was... And it still may be. Look, I'm just trying to make sure that to maintain control of the locker room, you have to say when the quarterback plays poorly, because otherwise you'll lose some of those defensive guys like, yo, man, we're doing what we got to do, and this guy's not getting it done. I get that. But you can do it privately. You don't have to do it publicly. And he may never have done it before. I understand. I've never done this before. Great. You've never coached Tom Brady before. You never coach a guy that was 9 Super Bowls, 6 Super Bowl wins. And Rob, you can go into your how lucky he is, but all right, fine. It's unbelievable. 6, 9 Super Bowls.
He has been lucky, Doug. Can I lay it out for you? Do I have time to lay out the luckiness? Okay, he has been lucky. Super Bowl number 1 was the Tuck Rule. He fumbled the football. It was given back to him. In that Super Bowl run, Tom Brady had 1 touchdown the entire postseason.
No question. That team was about their defense, their running game, and they minimized their exposure. Although he did play very well in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Then he had the 1 touchdown, yep, in the Super Bowl. And Carolina, their kicker kicked the ball out of bounds. Tom Brady got the ball at the 40, moved the ball up, and Adam Vinatieri, one of the greatest kickers ever, kicked the game-winning field goal. Seattle is winning the Super Bowl with the best running back in the league. Beast Mode is there at the 1.5-yard line. They have two plays to run. They throw the ball into a crowded end zone, interception. Atlanta, Julio Jones makes a unbelievable catch on third down, sets up a first and 10 at the 22. They're already in field goal range, Doug. Mm-hmm. You do not have to do anything. Atlanta could have kneeled down three times,
kicked the field goal,
you're up by 11, ball game. And what do? Go back for a pass, there's a hold, there's a sack. They're out of field goal range. It's the worst coaching I've ever seen, and it wasn't a second guess, a first guess.
Okay, but all that said, he still had to lead them on touchdown drives against the defense that had dominated them through the first 2.5 to 3 quarters of the game.
I get it.
Right?
I'm not saying he can't play, Doug.
And before they didn't hand the ball to Beast Mode, he did lead the Patriots on a drive which gave them the lead, right? Like, it wasn't his fault that the defense was letting down against the Seahawks to begin with. So, like, yeah, look, luck is where what? Preparation and timing meet? I mean, he's got great time, he's got great preparation, and he had the perfect coach for him. He had the perfect coach for him. He had a guy who was a preparation freak and a guy who would change to every week to not just get – some coaches get set in their scheme, and we got to – this is how we – like Bruce Arians. We're going to do what we do. It's been successful. Like, yeah, okay, but you don't – that's not what this guy does. He's 43. He gets rid of it underneath stuff and reads the defense and finds the mismatch and identifies the mic and gets rid of that football and lets guys – he's had success with underneath and option routes, right?
What?
So he found the perfect coach.
I get it, but when I look at it and people try to say that it's Brady – the reason that the Patriots won, that he was the guy, I look at the Super Bowls twice. I look at it in two parts. The first three Super Bowls, to me, was about defense and the field goal kicking of Adam Vinatieri. If you remember, the greatest show on turf scored 13 points in that Super Bowl.
You're going back to his first Super Bowl.
Okay, but then I'm going to give you – then they went 9 seasons without winning a Super Bowl.
Okay, but what happened during those nine – hold on. You want to do that? Fine. They went 16-0.
They lost. He scored 14 points in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
When they were averaging 35, Doug, during the regular season.
Right, and against a Giants team that they played at the end of the regular season, then they played them again. The pass rush was incredible. And that game, you want to talk about luck? Like, the David Tyree catch, that's not lucky? Of course it is. Like, that's part of what it takes to win a big game.
Not sometimes the Manningham catch. He lost twice to Eli. That wasn't luck. That was a great throw great catch.
But he also, so Welker doesn't catch a ball on third down before the Manningham catch. Right? And was it a great, was it a perfect throw?
That was a bad throw by Tom Brady. I'm glad you said that.
Okay. So the idea that he goes 16-0, they go 18-0, they go to the Super Bowl and lose. Why didn't they go back and win the Super Bowl the next year? Why didn't they go back and compete the next year? He got hurt. That was the best team he ever played on. He got hurt, doesn't play. And as we've seen with any of these quarterbacks that come back from an ACL, it takes them a couple years. So the idea that he went 10 years, he went 10 years. He went to 9 Super Bowls. This is one of those. Look, I love you. Okay, you make great, strong arguments. You have an incredible knowledge of the history of sports. But you just lose everybody when you start impugning the credit. It wasn't like it happened once or twice. Once or twice, like, all right. This is like I'm trying to think which defensive back was with the Jets. Who had the kids who couldn't remember all the kids' names?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Was it 9 kids? Was it Crow? Was it Antonio Cromartie? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, Cromartie. He couldn't remember all the names.
Right. Okay. When you have a kid out of wedlock, like, dude, it can happen. Right. It can happen. That gun doesn't shoot blanks. I got it. Right. When you have two kids, okay. Right. You had multiple relationships at different times. When you have three. You're like, all right, now you're starting to get a little bit unlucky, but you don't want to cut off the hose because eventually at some point in time you may be married. When you got 9 kids, it's no longer an accident. Right? No. When you go to 9 Super Bowls, it ain't an accident. It ain't luck. He's got too much to do with it.
And the last thing I'm going to say, the last 3 Super Bowls, and this is where I talk about all the time. Yes, Tom Brady made these drives and helped them win, but they also, the defense, in all 3 of those Super Bowls, Doug, the opponent scored 0 points in the fourth quarter. When they beat the Rams and held them to 3 points and an 89-yard field goal as the only offense they had, that team was the 5th greatest offense in the history of the NFL, and they got 3 points. It was the defense, sure, not Tom Brady.
Okay, but he did lead them on a touchdown-winning drive to make it 14-3 to win the game, right? Like, you just as long as you have one more point than your opponent, they give you a championship. That's the way it works. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, presented to you by Mercedes AMG. All right, so we won't see Ravens Steelers today. We will see the Cowboys today. Here's a question. Should they try and win the division, or should they try and play for draft position? We discuss next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes.
Great song. Come on, I went to college in the 80s, man. All that stuff is good music to me.
No, it's good music. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out sports and get me jacked for a good Thanksgiving Day, and if that one fits the bill. Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Danettes. I don't know if you know this. The Eagles right now be drafting 19th in the first round and the 19th spot in every round, and they're a half game up on the Dallas Cowboys, who would be drafting at the 4th spot, right, because of record wise. Dropping it at the 4th spot. So I guess the question becomes, Rob, if you're the Cowboys, do you really want to win today?
That's a good question. Probably not. I mean, you want to win a division, you want to make the playoffs, but you have a chance. There's some good quarterbacks out there, right? And Doug, what do you do if you can get a good quarterback, a good young quarterback for no money, right? Because it will be under a rookie deal. And you don't have to pay Dak all that big money that you'll have to pay him when he comes back. Would you make that move?
With Dak?
Yeah. Because the longer you wait, like the Cowboys to me missed the window. Like they should have paid him if he's their guy, and they didn't sign him. So now you gotta have him on a franchise tag again to see, you know, him come back. That's going to cost you a lot of money. And then if you still decide to pay him, it's still going to cost you more.
Yeah. I'm like, look, I've never been as big on Dak as other people are on Dak.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
I think he's good, not great, you know, because early in the first couple of years it was, well, he wins. He wins. It's not about stats, it's about winning. Then it was about stats and not winning. It's like, wait, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. I don't understand. Is he responsible for winning or is he not responsible for winning, just kind of doing his deal? So, but you'd have to go out and find another quarterback. And I think we thought, and Jerry was operating under the assumption that this was a ready-made team. I think they're going to ride or die with Dak. I do. I would guess, you know, and some may think it's dirty business. Like if there's a deal to be had to, you know, with Dak Prescott, I'm not going to pay him near the top of the league. I'd probably
But he'll have to get paid, Doug. Like you there's no discount. Like there's a going quarterback market, and you could sit.
But
here
what
and
is
go,
the going
oh,
quarterback
hurting.
Market for a guy coming off of a broken ankle?
Well, I'm just what deal are you going to sign if I'm Dak Prescott? Oh, I'm going to take whatever you throw at me now. Like he had put up numbers. They have won a couple of divisions. They won the division twice.
Last year they didn't win the division,
no,
and it was a terrible division.
I'm not a Dak guy. I'm not trying to even make a case because I wouldn't have done it. When they wouldn't bend when Dak wanted 4 years and the Cowboys wanted 5, to me that made no sense. that the Cowboys would not get a deal done if you really believe he's your guy. You want to make your guy feel good, Doug, right? If he wants a four-year deal and he's going to be a Cowboy quarterback and we're going to win the Super Bowl, I don't care. We'll re-sign at another time. But to delay signing him only costs you more money. The quarterback salaries don't go the other way.
Now it didn't.
No, he's hurt.
Right. So it did. It hurt him at first, and now it ends up helping him.
You think he's going to get it? They're going to get him at a discounted rate?
Yes.
I don't
think they're going to offer him, you know, a top dollar. And I think it's really hard to come back from any injury. Obviously, that's one of those injuries where it's not the ACL, it's not the Achilles, it's not nearly what Joe Burrow's going to have to come back from, Carson Wentz, obviously. But you are coming back from injury, and as a guy who is a very good athlete, he's not Lamar as a freak, but he's a big body. Like, that takes some rehab. That takes some confidence rehab as well. So, yeah, if I'm the Cowboys right now, I'm trying to get a deal. I wasn't going to pay him top of the market. They weren't going to pay him top of the market anyway. And the reason you want 5 years, you want cost certainty. You don't want a guy to be back in his prime, back out in the market. Like, that's ridiculous. I don't blame him.
But the only I get that. But if you really want to make a guy happy, you don't want your guy where you don't. The three quarterbacks who didn't get a deal done and went on a franchise tag, both of them changed teams, right? That was Drew Brees and Minnesota. I just forgot his name. Kirk Cousins. Those are the only three. There have been three quarterbacks signed a franchise tag, and both of them got paid elsewhere. Dak will get paid elsewhere.
He will. I mean, he could, you know, and you also get compensation. But here's what I would do if I were the Cowboys. I'd play it out for a couple more weeks and see where it goes. Do I think they're a playoff team that can win in the playoffs? I do not. They are in the unique situation where if you get a home playoff game, because they've been drawing people, there is a dollars and cents aspect to it, to having a home playoff game, even if there's limited people in the stands. They're the ones to put 30,000 people in that building, and who knows, you know, you fast forward a month from now, maybe they can get 50,000 people in that building. It is Texas. And things get goofy down there. So I think you probably play it out because Mike McCarthy doesn't want. But, I mean, the truth is what they should do, they should tank regardless of what happens with Dak, because they're going to need those assets, because this is not – that offensive line needs to be rebuilt. It is not the wall that it was previously. Right? You've had injuries. You've had a retirement. It's not the same. And the defense has holes. And you got to get younger across the board when you have some of those big, healthy contracts.
I get it. I get it.
Okay, so the Lions are depleted. The Texans come in, but the Texans aren't good. Who wins?
I'm going to pick the Lions. The Lions shouldn't win. I'm going to pick the Lions.
Yeah, I am too, and I'm going to tweet at you that there's a it's so quiet in Rob Parker's house that you can hear a mouse urinating on his Matt Stafford as a stat stuffer. Okay? Washington versus Dallas.
I'm going to take Washington.
I am too.
Look at that, Doug. Today was the first show me and you agreed. We agreed too much. This was not a typical Gottlieb Parker show.
It's not. It's we're like family. We argue, but at the end of the day, we're like, yeah.
It's all good.
I get it.
It's just a radio show.
This one is built for Alex Smith, man. You know? I mean, his comeback is incredible.
It is an incredible comeback. 2 years not winning, and here he is.
And you got Riverboat Ron, who wants to win and also change the culture there. Have a happy Thanksgiving to you, Rob.
You too, Doug.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.